Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. There are many more podcasts for this and all of our other faith radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast. You recently wrote an excellent article called When Good Kids Live Dangerously, and I'm sure it was really a wake-up call for a lot of parents. Can you tell us the story of Kyle and the drug overdose that took his life?
Yeah, you know, Kyle was one of these great kids that nobody thought that, you know, would ever do anything wrong. I mean, involved in his church, involved with his family, vacations, he held a job, he was an Eagle Scout. Anything that you can think of that would go in the positive column with this kid, it was him. And, you know, as his mom was telling me the whole story, then all of a sudden his sister calls his mom and says, "Mom, I'm here at the hospital. Kyle just passed away of a heroin overdose." And it threw everybody, it just shocked everybody. And the mother went on to tell me just what a mess this thing was, because they never even anticipated that this was even a possibility. And so they never prepared, they never looked, they never thought about it, they never paid any attention to any of the signs, because they just didn't see them, because they didn't think it was possible. And so the whole story kind of goes back to the fact that, you know, all of us have got to be a little bit aware that all of our kids are vulnerable. I don't care how much scripture they've memorized, how much they've gone to church, what mission trips they've gone on, how good a kid they are. Every kid is vulnerable to this culture that is just kind of cutting the knees out of so many of our kids.
You said this: what was once abnormal behavior has now become the new normal for many kids. What do you mean by that, Mark?
Well, I think there's been a lot. There's been so much shifting of culture that, you know, it's like kids today. You know, the older teens and millennials feel like it's more immoral to not recycle than it is to look at porn, because it's becoming a very normal part of their culture because there's so much of it. And I think the same thing is happening with drugs. The same thing is happening with marijuana use to relieve anxiety from a culture that's contrary to what mom and dad really want for their kids. I think there is a new normal for kids. So much more is accepted. Sending inappropriate pictures to friends, they live in an appearance and performance world, and it almost appears that it's somewhat narcissistic. And if it is, then it's changing what used to be normal, or used to be abnormal, has now become so normal that our kids don't even pay any attention to it.
You know, you mentioned marijuana use, Mark, and the number of kids regularly using marijuana has risen dramatically in recent years, partly, I think, due to lax attitudes about the drug, but also, I think, as a result of some states legalizing it. And there's a large percentage of middle schoolers and high schoolers who actually are regularly smoking pot, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. You know, and here's the problem you'll find in Colorado and Washington State and California. You know, what happens is that, you know, a parent, even today, a parent can let their kids use alcohol. I mean, it's a parental rights issue, but they can let them use alcohol. And what's happening is these kids are being able to smoke pot. Nobody can do anything about it. And, you know, what somebody does when they're older, it's really none of my business. But where it does become my business is when that starts to ripple out and infect younger kids at a time that they don't need to be pulling any stunts like that and using anything. I'm not for it on any level. But there's a part of it where there's irresponsibility that's flowing around these rights of adults that say, well, we have a right to do that. But the problem is they're not thinking about the ripple effect of what it's saying to kids underneath. And basically it's saying it's okay to self-medicate. And I think that's what's happening, what's driving it with kids today, is they're looking for relief from a culture that's causing so much pressure on them that anxiety levels are through the roof. And kids are going, I need something to help me where I can just feel normal. That's the sad part of it.
You know, I was looking at some of the stats on the misuse of prescription drugs, which, of course, is also a big problem among our kids. Have any of the kids at the Heart Light Center talked to you about something called farming parties?
You know, we hear about a different party, it seems like, every week.
This one is the one where they actually go to a party and they steal prescription drugs from mom and dad's medicine cabinet. They throw it into a big bowl. And then the kids all sit around in a circle and they reach into this bowl, kind of Russian roulette style. They grab a handful of pills and down them with beer or wine or vodka or who knows what. And you can just imagine, Mark, who knows what interactive effects those drugs could have. Very, very scary and something that's happening regularly with our teens.
It is. And you know, Bill, I think what happens is most people go, well, my kid would never do that. You know what? You know, Scripture says, cursed is the man who puts his trust in man, for he'll be like a bush in the desert. He'll dwell in the places where no one lives, and his leaves will wither at the time of heat. I don't trust any kid. I let kids do things all the time. I love kids. I live with 60 kids, you know, at Heartlight, our residential counseling. So I love them to death, but I also know that they will pull stunts, that they are desperate. Curiosity seekers, they're adrenaline junkies, they want excitement in their life, and most of it is motivated by the fact that they don't have the relationships that you and I used to have when we were that age, just because they don't communicate in the same way. And so for anybody to put that beyond their child, you're really putting your child at risk. And you look at all the kids that live with us, and I go, I would tell you, every one of our kids has grown up in the church, every one of them is so Scripture like the back of their hand. They're great kids and they have great parents, but something went terribly wrong, and had mom and dad been even aware that this was a possibility, I think we'd see different outcomes in a lot of these situations.
Mark, let me ask you this. In your work with moms and dads, because I know you've got the kids there at Heartlight, but you're working with their parents as well, how do you encourage them to respond, maybe to understand and then respond to the culture that their kids are growing up in today?
Yeah, you know, what a great, great question. I don't think enough parents ask that question, that if the culture is pushing our kids, and it's a culture that every one of us have said, I'm glad that I don't have to grow up in this culture, then what are we doing to make sure that we're relieving the pressure of the culture with our kids? And I think the first thing is just being aware of that, so that it changes the way that I engage with my child, it changes the way that I move toward them, and it changes the atmosphere, because I know that they're under pressure and I don't want them to be, so I don't move toward them just to discipline them and interrogate them and to get them into trouble. But I participate in their life because I don't want them to end up at a place that they don't want to end up, and I want to help get them to a place that they want to go. So I think that parents, you know, it's just keeping your eyes peeled a lot when you spend time with your child and you look and you're doing all those things. It's just, you know, it's saying, do you see any drug paraphernalia around the house? Can you smell incense? Are they attending parties that you don't really know what's going on, much like the farm party that you talk about? You know, keep tabs of where your son or daughter goes. Show interest and participate. And you can do that without being a policeman or an interrogator. You can just show some concern, but then check some things out as well. If you don't feel comfortable about something, just go, you know, I need to ask some more questions here. And don't be afraid to ask those questions. And just see where it takes you. Look for changes in behavior of your child, things they used to hate, now they love, and things they love they used to, you know, it's just a change totally. Sleep patterns, the friends, the change in appetite, laziness comes in, lack of motivation, poor grades, those are all signs that something else is going on, and that's what needs to be focused on.
You know, and I know, Mark, you talk about the importance of grace in our relationships with our kids. My philosophy is our kids should be able to come to us with anything, no matter how, you know, scary it is, no matter how bad it is, and feel like we will listen. Now, there may be consequences for, you know, things that we find out that are going on that are really bad. But if we always come down like a ton of bricks on them when they share something difficult, let's say about sex or drugs or whatever it might be, if we're always going to have the iron fist, they're not going to open up, and then they're going to be more likely to hide these things from us. And then very, very bad things will happen. Like you mentioned with Kyle in our first segment, the young man who overdosed on heroin, Eagle Scout, who overdosed on heroin.
Yeah. You know, I this is what I do. I've got four grandkids, and I think grandkids are a reward for not killing your own kids. And I love spending time. And I always look at my 15-year-old granddaughter, and I always ask her questions. And there's some of those questions, and every grandparent knows what I'm talking about. When I say, hey, have you kissed anybody yet? Have you held hands with a guy? Do you know anybody that's doing drugs at school? Has anybody been doing anything with alcohol? Do you think people are sexually active? She's in the thick of it, and she always says, Papa, quit. Papa, quit asking questions. Papa, quit. Papa, quit. And then a week and a half ago, she texted me, and she said, Papa, can just you and I get together for dinner?
Mm.
And I said, well, sure, sweetheart, let's do that. And we sat down and talked, and finally, she said, okay, this is what's going on. Can you help me? And I looked at that, and I thought, okay, here's some old gray-headed man sitting down with a 15-year-old girl that's now seeking out wisdom. And I think what we need to be doing is parents and grandparents, because grandparents play a special role in the lives of their kids, is that we're asking questions, not to interrogate, but to show interest and to give value, to give validation, to provide a place for them to just kick around ideas and thoughts and let them process out loud. The scripture says that a fool delights in airing his opinion. And most of the time, I don't just say, okay, here's my opinion, this is it. I leave it alone because I want her to think. But I engage in such a way that she's now calling me and pursuing me rather than me always having to pursue her. And it can happen just by asking non-interrogative questions, because you're setting out a welcome mat that says you're invited to come and talk to me about anything. I'm still going to love you. There's nothing you can do to make me love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make me love you less. It's a message that I think that every kid needs to hear.
I'm so glad you talked about the role of grandparents, Mark. I think back to my own grandparents who were just treasures. And my grandfather was a U.S. Navy commander, retired U.S. Navy commander, but he wasn't a hard guy at all. He was just the most kind, fun-loving and, great sense of humor, great, wise person. My grandmother was so encouraging. And I think back to the fact, my grandparents, I think they kept every thing I made in wood shop and every story I ever wrote, and it was all displayed. I remember I made some squirrel bookends, and they were proudly displayed up on their shelf for all of their friends to see. And the friends would come over, and they would brag and say, hey, listen to this story that our grandson wrote, or whatever it might be. Yeah. And later, as I became an adult, they were so encouraging. So, boy, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mark, because I know we have a lot of grandparents listening right now. And even if they're separated by the miles, now with technology, it's so easy to Skype. It's so easy to text. And don't let that relationship slide, because you will regret it, Grandma and Grandpa.
Yeah. And there's a reason, Bill, why grandparents are living so long. It used to be when you turned 70, you were going to croak the next day or something. I mean, now we're meeting people in their 90s. And I spoke at a Gaither event this past couple of weeks, and I said, there's like 1 million pounds of gray hair in here. And the reason that God is keeping every one of you around, is because he needs somebody to speak wisdom into the life of these kids, and we've got it. And so don't be afraid to take advantage of the role that you play. You may think you're old. You may think that you don't have anything to say, but you are completely wrong. It's almost like every parent needs a good set of grandparents involved in the life of their kids. This culture is tearing our kids apart, and they don't need more information. They need wisdom. And every grandparent has these golden nuggets of truth that our young people, teens and the millennials, need desperately, and they're searching for it, and you're it. And so that's why the relationship has got to be there to help your kids through this trying time.
Mm. Mark, just got about 1.5 minutes left. What should a parent do if they find out their so-called good kid has been engaging in dangerous behavior?
Yeah, the first thing is you just sit down and say, we need to have a serious discussion. And it, son, sweetheart, it's because I love you, and I can't allow you to destroy yourself and destroy relationships around you. We're going to have to do something. And so either we need to come to a point where we can have some admissions of what's going on, but we need to get some help. And don't focus on the behavior. Focus on the root of the behavior, what's motivating the behavior. And that may be getting into counseling. It may be talking to a wise youth pastor. It may be talking to a friend that's been there before. But it's getting some help and providing a place for a child to talk things through. I tell people all the time, if you have a discipline problem or a drug problem, you probably have a relationship problem. And that's what you need to be focusing on, to affirm the relationship, but be an anchor of hope for your child that they know, okay, I can get out of this. And it may just be curiosity, but sometimes curiosity kills the cat. And like Kyle in this story, you don't want to be attending the funeral of your child or grandchild saying, I wish I would have done something different.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, you can visit our program page at myfaithradio.com.